You're with SBS Radio.
Last week, Armenians around the world, including Australia, commemorated the 104th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. However, this year, unlike the previous years, the events attracted media attention in Australia. Our guest is Armenian National Committee of Australia's Executive Director, Haik Kayserian. Haik, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Vahir.
Haik, why this year Prime Minister's words touched the nerve?
Well, I think the big issue with Scott Morrison's words this year was he was a Prime Minister who had in the past used correct characterization of the Armenian Genocide when he wasn't Prime Minister. In 2011, he made a speech. He had also spoken at a Sydney Armenian Genocide commemoration prior to that in 2010. And in all of his interactions with us, had always been a very strong supporter, not just of using the word genocide, but of also having Australia recognise the Armenian Genocide. Therefore, when we received his statement in commemoration of the Armenian Genocide on April 24th, to be read out on April 24th, it didn't contain the word genocide in there. And our long-held policy has been not to read any political leader statement which doesn't contain the word genocide at the Armenian Genocide commemorations. And the reason we do that is because the commemoration is full of descendants of survivors of the Armenian Genocide, and it is disrespecting their memory by not correctly characterizing the way they died. It's exactly the way that that the denialist regimes would like things to go, where basically the justice that they deserve is thwarted. So for that reason, out of respect to the descendants of survivors, the victims of the Armenian Genocide, that night is not somewhere people can try to score political points talking about, you know, how greatly the Armenian community has contributed to Australia, etc., without mentioning the Armenian Genocide by name. This is a long-held policy, but the fact that Scott Morrison's statement had a backflip associated with it, where he had called on the Armenian Genocide to be recognised before and now wasn't using it in his statement, it became a pretty big issue when it was released to the media. A lot of interest was generated there that the Armenian community is going to snub a statement by the Prime Minister. And the idea of snubbing the statement from the Prime Minister attracted the interest of Alan Jones from 2GB. So initially it was Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, the Nine network of newspapers that ran a story about us not reading the statement because it didn't contain the word genocide. And then Alan Jones picked it up, and obviously he's a strong supporter of Armenian genocide recognition. And he actually backed our stance, saying that the Armenian community is right not to read out this statement. It is disrespectful, and it's time that Australian prime ministers and leaders stop kowtowing to the Turkish dictatorship, which he's also been a strong critic of in the past. Then I think there was an article, an opinion article by Stepan Kerkisherian in the Herald, and that article also criticised the leader of the government in the Prime Minister, but also the leader of the opposition, whose statement also didn't use the word genocide. It wasn't as big a deal because Bill Shorten's never used the word genocide publicly before or never been an advocate, and he's not the sitting Prime Minister at the moment either. So that wasn't as big a deal to the media, but understandably the Prime Minister's one was. And then obviously the march that took place, the March for Justice, and that became a focus prior to the March for Justice and during the March for Justice, and the media took that on. So it's been about, I think, 5-6 days of almost back-to-back media coverage. There've been 40 mentions of the Armenian Genocide in the Australian press covering our positions on these very important issues. And I think it's also been interesting that there's been a division between the Prime Minister's thoughts and the public reaction. This is the first time we've been able to test where the media and the public stands on this issue, because there's been so much local media coverage on the issue, and that media coverage has not in any way, shape or form attracted anybody criticising us for the way we have treated this issue. It's actually been in reverse, highlighting the fact that the Prime Minister seems to be out of sync with his own government, with the greater population on this issue, and also the righteous nations that have recognized the Armenian genocide.
Hayk, do you think that the fact that the new South Wales premier is Armenian and a descendant of genocide survivors this year sort of helped to better highlight the denial of our political leaders?
Definitely. Definitely. I think Gladys Berejiklian has always been a strong advocate, unmatched advocate when it comes to the promotion of the Armenian cause and advocating for Armenian genocide recognition. And although there was controversy, the federal leader of her own party in Scott Morrison, leading up to the commemoration evening on the 24th in Sydney, she stood up that day and called on Australia to recognise the Armenian genocide, in the sense that she said that she was confident that Australia was going to recognise the Armenian genocide. There was an article after that commemoration by one of the journalists who was there, where she highlighted the fact that the Premier, Ms. Berejiklian, was actually expressing confidence that Australia would recognise the genocide on the day that the leader of the government, the federal government, had refused to use the word genocide. And I think there was a strong message there, and that was received by the media. But there's a little bit more to that, Vahe. Because at that same commemoration, where Gladys made her position known, Trent Zimmerman, who's a member of Scott Morrison's government, he's the member for North Sydney, he stood up and spoke at the Sydney commemoration and continued to advocate for Australia's recognition for the Armenian genocide. And also, Tim Wilson, who's also a member of that same government, the member for Goldstein in Victoria, he stood up at the Melbourne commemoration on the same night and said that he was still working and was confident that he would help get the Armenian genocide recognised by Australia. So I think, and obviously there were opposition people that spoke, like Senator Raf Ciccone in Melbourne and Senator Christina Keneally in Sydney. There was a very clear message at these commemoration evenings from members of the government that despite what their leader has chosen to do with these words, it was not consistent with their position. It was not shifting their position. So there's definitely a growing distance between the position of the Prime Minister and the bureaucrats that seem to be drafting these speeches every single year, and the members of parliament that represent the same government. The other point to make, that same article that highlighted all of these inconsistencies had a quote from the Prime Minister, and this was probably the most significant achievement of the week, as far as we're concerned, from an Armenian advocacy perspective, that the Prime Minister was actually asked a question about the offence that he had caused the Armenian community by not using the G word while he was all the way in Darwin on a doorstop trying to campaign for the election. A journalist asked him about that, and he sensationally admitted, Vahe, that it was because of Turkish pressure. He talked about the fact that he made comments as a private citizen before when he had used the word genocide. They weren't as a private citizen, by the way. They were as a member of parliament in the parliament. And then he said that without taking a break, started talking about how important the relationship with Turkey is and how hard they've worked to make sure Australians and New Zealanders can make the pilgrimage to Turkey. That means that the reason he's giving for not using the G word is the fact that that relationship with Turkey needs to be cultivated. Obviously, what that means for us as Australians is this line in Australia's foreign policy is actually being written by a foreign dictatorship who is using the graves of our Anzacs to negotiate down Australia's position on this very important human rights issue. This is also not lost on the media, on the public, and I think the RSL should also condemn this and should say to Scott Morrison and the Australian government today and tomorrow that the Anzac graves, the graves of our Anzacs, should not be used to blackmail Australia into any position.
Hike, I think the reason behind the Prime Minister's decision was not a surprise, because last time we spoke, you mentioned that politicians are wary of RSL and the possible disruption of ANZAC services at Gallipoli.
That's right. It's not surprising. I think the fact that every Prime Minister, except Malcolm Turnbull, who was careful not to declare any position while he was Prime Minister, so he can, I think, stay true to his original position. Every Prime Minister who has released a statement on April 24 to commemorate the genocide has not used the G word. That is truth. I think there was a little bit of hope, though, when it came to Scott Morrison, because even with Tony Abbott, who is probably the only other Prime Minister who had a position pro-Armenian genocide recognition prior to becoming Prime Minister, and then changed it when he was Prime Minister, Scott Morrison actually spoke in Parliament exclusively on this issue. He stood up for several minutes and spoke about how the Armenian genocide was fact, how it happened, how Australians came to the support of the Armenians in need at the time, and then he called on the Australian government to recognise the genocide. So the fact that he was now in a position to do that, there was naturally a little bit of hope. What ended up happening was not a surprise to us, but it was still offensive.
I presume what's happening here in Australia is mirrored in New Zealand and their refusal to acknowledge the Armenian genocide?
Yeah, look, I think with Australia and New Zealand, there's a few differences. Obviously, the Armenian National Committee of New Zealand has been in existence for less than 1 year. And during that time, it's definitely made strides. For example, the Greens in New Zealand have a party policy now to recognise the Armenian genocide. And obviously, the Greens are in a coalition government at the moment with the Labour Party and also one other party. So they do have some influence in that space. Obviously, Jacinda Ardern was similarly asked a question about the Armenian genocide last August in a press conference, and she also went to the current position of the New Zealand government and said that, you know, we don't recognise these events. Oh, well, she didn't use the genocide word. It wasn't as offensive as Australia's position, where they say we don't recognise these events as genocide, but she didn't use the genocide word herself and just expressed sympathy. Since then, there have been a lot more publicity in New Zealand, obviously, because of Serge Tankian. After the Christchurch attack, Serge Tankian, the lead singer of System of a Down and a solo artist in his own right, actually is a resident of New Zealand, a permanent resident of New Zealand, and he spent several months a year there. And when the Christchurch attacks happened and the reaction from Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan was to say that we're going to return... If ANZAC visitors from Australia and New Zealand are insulting to Islam while they visit Gallipoli, we will return them like their grandfathers in coffins. When that statement was made, I think it caused a lot of offence within New Zealand, like it did here in Australia. And Serge Tankian helped us get some serious coverage in the New Zealand press as well on that regard. However, the pressure politically in New Zealand is not the same yet in Australia, where the Armenian National Committee has obviously been practicing our advocacy for many more years. It will get there in New Zealand, where this becomes an issue every April, a significant issue. But this year it was more around the Christchurch attacks and Erdogan's comments. The position hasn't changed in New Zealand, but the pressures that they have faced to date are not like the pressures they will face in the future. In Australia, just to remind everybody, just in the last year alone, we have had 20 different representations in the federal parliament, in the House of Representatives, in the Senate. There have been two motions that have argued for Armenian genocide recognition. There has been Senate estimates hearings where Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade officials have been grilled about their position on the Armenian genocide. The Australian Greens have a party position to recognise the Armenian genocide. The Australian Conservatives have a party position to recognise the genocide. The Centre Alliance have a party position to recognise the genocide, as does Derryn Hinch's Justice Party as well. And on top of all of these party positions and representations in Parliament, we have advocacy organisations that are calling for the same thing as well, and media. You know, you've got people like Alan Jones, who is a very influential broadcaster in Australia, calling for Australia's recognition. And more recently, we released information that the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies have called on Australia to recognise the genocide, but also Israel to recognise the genocide, and said that they're going to stand shoulder to shoulder with us until this is achieved in Australia. And the Australian Christian Lobby, which is a very influential lobby of 135,000 members, also said that a priority for them over the coming parliament will be to help us get Australia to recognise the Armenian genocide. So this sort of political pressure doesn't yet exist in New Zealand, but it will. And this is the environment in which the Australian government is currently denying or facilitating the denial of the Armenian genocide by the Republic of Turkey. I think this influence is important. This pressure is important. The relentless nature of our community is the most important thing. Attending marches like the ones that took place in Melbourne and Sydney over the weekend, attending commemorations, you know, commenting, sharing all the information that's out there, all of this is very important, because unfortunately for many years it's become very easy for the Australian government to say, okay, on one side we're going to have Ankara telling us off, threatening this, threatening that, and on the other side we're probably going to have a few people that are upset, right? Now we're evening that out. It's no longer just, you know, Ankara on one side and a few people that are upset. In Australia, what we have is Prime Minister going all the way to Darwin, trying to promote a campaign of one of his country Liberal Party candidates over there, and a media person asking him a question about the Armenian genocide. That's where we've brought this issue. It's not easy for the government to sidestep it anymore. There are people on their own side wanting this done, and it will get done.
Hi again. The focus of March for Justice on Sunday was Prime Minister's letter?
It was. The March for Justice, obviously, every year takes place at this time, Zahir, and every year there seems to be another area of focus. I remember a couple of years or 3 years ago, there was the Azeri attacks that occurred on Gharapav, and that became a bit of a focus of the march. This year, definitely, it was the Scott Morrison and Bill Shorten statements, which were very offensive to our community. I think that the way that actually played out at the March for Justice on Sunday was, first of all, there were a lot of people. Sydney was taken over by descendants of survivors of the Armenian genocide. The media was there. We were covered by all sorts of newspapers and online, as well as television. On the news and television. There were also members of Parliament that were present from New South Wales. There was a very powerful speech from Hugh McDermott, who talked about Scott Morrison's backflip as being unacceptable. Similarly, the other speakers on the day said this, relayed the same message to the public. I think it was important that the community, the grassroots community, shows that this is a major issue for us. That is the key. As long as it is a major issue for us, the Armenian National Committee will keep fighting for it. And also, as long as this is a major issue for us, people will listen to us.
Haig, what were the highlights of the commemoration events in Sydney and Melbourne?
Well, obviously, from an Armenian National Committee perspective, we always focus on the politics and the media aspect of it all. I think this was one of the most covered commemorations when it comes to the Sydney one, for a variety of reasons. I think the Scott Morrison thing being one, and an equal reason right at the top was the presence of our Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, who deserves a lot of praise for, you know, it seems easy to just dedicate a night to commemorate the genocide, but a Premier's diary and schedule is such that it's not, you know, easy to commit to, you know, sitting for 2.5 hours in one place when you are wanted everywhere. But she showed once again that for her, regardless of, you know, the recent success in the election and anything else, she remembers where she comes from as the granddaughter of genocide survivors. Her presence there attracted media attention alone, and her words were as vigilant as they have ever been, and her confidence in Australia's eventual recognition and eventual justice for the Armenian genocide was as strong as ever. I will add one thing about Premier Berejiklian's speech, which was less covered under the Scott Morrison controversy that sort of led to the evening. Gladys called out Turkey's denial of the Armenian genocide in very clear and unequivocal language. She called it textbook, blaming the victims and sort of deflecting words, using the war as a reason for massacres, and made it very clear that this sort of denial is not an acceptable form of addressing human rights issues. I think that that was very important. The fact that she spoke Armenian for 1.5 minutes at the end of her speech, I think that was also widely covered in the Armenian media and a highlight for many. The speeches by Trent Zimmerman and Christina Keneally, from the federal perspective, were very much highlights, because in both the cases there was a very clear and unequivocal support for Armenian genocide recognition in the Australian Parliament, and that support was bipartisan. The statement that came from the cross parties were also very important, reaffirming their commitment to have the Armenian genocide recognised. The speech by the keynote guest, Dr. Melanie O'Brien, where she highlighted the continuing cultural destruction of Armenian sites as a continuation of the Armenian genocide, was fantastic, and obviously the fact that it was a visual presentation was definitely a highlight. I'll also touch on the Melbourne site, again focusing on the politics and the media aspect. There were speeches by Tim Wilson, obviously of Armenian heritage, and also by Senator Raf Chichoni, who recently became a senator in the federal parliament. And both of them were very clear in their interpretation of what occurred in 1915 and characterised it correctly in their speeches. That also is important as part of this coalition building and an understanding that this issue needs to be addressed in a multi-partisan way by the federal government. Dr. Donnelly Freeze was the keynote in Melbourne, and that was also a highlight for those who were present, because Dr. Freeze recently wrote a biography on Raphael Lemkin, the person who coined the term genocide. So I think overall these were the key, but the fact that from the external, this was the most covered Armenian genocide commemoration to date, and I'm even comparing that to the centenary now, because this had the most locally oriented coverage. The centenary obviously had a lot of coverage, but the fact that we have, you know, Premier Berejiklian, Scott Morrison making the comments that he made, and people as high profile as Alan Jones and others coming on board, I think meant that the coverage, the public affairs outreach of this commemoration week was very admirable, and it was a win for our cause.
Hi, thank you very much for your time and the interview.
Thanks, Ray.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.